Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am a sucker, especially for stories with an underdog. I cry when the underdog is crushed, and then I cheer when they overcome all odds, winning the game and the hearts of all those around them. I recently watched Hidden Figures and loved it. In the movie, three African-American women, portrayed as incredible mathematicians, manually crunched the numbers to help NASA launch John Glenn into orbit in 1962. Although depicted as more than competent, and at times superior to those around them, the women were discriminated against for their race, gender, and the fact that they were in the tech world. I cried as the women were put down time and time again, and then cheered at the end of the movie as Glenn's rocket launched into space. But what I especially liked about the movie was the honest ending. Although these three may have been a spark for the progression of women in technology, and without a question, women have made progress, they did not change the world. Still in the U.S., only 15% of all the tech jobs are now held by women. Tech women are still the underdogs, and discrimination in this case still has the last word. Is Jesus an underdog? The least likely to win? The one with less power, money, prestige, control? Everything seemed to be against him. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples deserted him. Witnesses testified against him. The one who betrayed him committed suicide. Peter denied him three times. There was political wrangling over whether to release Jesus or the prisoner Barabbas, and Jesus lost. The crucifixion was horrific. There were swords and soldiers, a scarlet robe and a crown of thorns, mocking and spitting and flogging. And when Jesus finally died on that cross, darkness came over the land. The curtain of the temple was torn into two. The earth shook and rocks were split. Tombs were opened. Jesus was dead. If ever an underdog, Jesus was it. And this underdog didn't win. His body was taken by Joseph of Arimathea, wrapped in a clean linen cloth, and put into a rock tomb. And a big old stone was rolled in front of the tomb. The ways of this world had been victorious. The underdog was again crushed by the authorities. Betrayal and denial succeeded. The rich and the haughty, the powerful and the mighty had the last word. Death won. Or did it? Very early the morning after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb to see a sealed grave, like when we go and visit the grave of a loved one. We go not expecting to see anything other than a rock or an urn, but we go so that we are close, at least in our thoughts, to the one who has gone before us. And the women's world that morning was dark, and it was filled with sorrow and sadness. Guards had been placed at the tomb. The poor guards, they drew the short straw and ended up being assigned to guard the dead Jesus. Pilate told them to make sure the tomb was as secure as they could make it, just in case the disciples came to try and steal the body. And then the world turned. The refrain of Rory Cooney's Canticle of the Turning captures the moment so well as it sings to the women, "Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn." As the old world climaxed, there were earthquakes. Now, as the new world begins, the darkness was interrupted and the earth shook again. Theologian Tom Long describes the earth's quake as a drum roll, signaling a dramatic act of divine power. And the women came to the tomb in the dark of the morning, but instead of darkness, there came a brilliant light. Instead of death and sorrow, there was life. And the guards shook with fear like dead men. Author Frederick Buechner quips about the uselessness of the guards. How do soldiers secure the world against a miracle? It was like trying to stop the wind with a machine gun. God erupting into our world, God's kingdom breaking into the midst of human history and doing it in a noisy way. The tomb is empty. The kingdom of God is now among us. Easter morning, the resurrection of our Lord. Easter was not just something spectacular that happened to Jesus, or the happy ending to the Mary's tragic story. Easter was not the end of a happily ever after sports movie. The resurrection was not Jesus' final accomplishment, his ultimate race, or the peak of his season. The resurrection changed all of human history. It was a new beginning, and the world had turned. So what do we do with a world that has turned? First, we need to listen to the angel. The women found an angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away, and Tom Long imagines the angel descending from heaven, easily rolling the great stone away, and then sitting down on top, as if to say, "Well, so much for that." And then the angel speaks, as angels do throughout the Gospels, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid." When we're little, we sit on our parents' lap, and when the storm swirls around us, our parents utter the same words, "Do not be afraid," and we're calmed. And when the storms swirl around us now, jobs, families, health, discrimination, betrayals, the calm doesn't come so quickly because we know that things can and do go wrong. We don't always know what the future will hold. But when we say, "Do not be afraid," we are the messengers for the angels, offering the hope of life in Christ. Just like the angels, we can speak with authority and confidence that whatever happens in our lives, even when we are afraid, that Christ is with us, upholding us, and never letting us be alone. Paul writes in Romans that now, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus has conquered death. Do not be afraid. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Second, it's not enough for the women to only see the empty tomb and know that Jesus is gone. The angel tells them that they need to come and see the risen Jesus, to see and hear the stories of his appearances and to see the disciples again, to be amongst those who believe and to be in community with each other. It's not enough for us to just know about Jesus. But we must experience Jesus with others. We too must come and see. And finally, the women need to go and tell. The guards watching the tomb with fear shook like dead men. They certainly couldn't tell the story. But it is these two women who are the first witnesses to the resurrection. And the story rests on their willingness to go and tell others. They're urged by the angel to go and tell quickly, and they do. They run to the disciples, even those who deserted Jesus at the cross. In the going and the telling, the women have both joy and fear. Joy that Jesus has conquered death, joy that he is risen, and fear because nothing is the same anymore. The powerful and the mighty, the betrayers and the deniers no longer have the last word. Sin and death are no more. The light of Christ has broken into the darkness, and darkness shall not overcome it. The world has turned. And the resurrection is not over today. We don't get to shout one more alleluia, turn the movie off, and say, wow, that was a good one. But the resurrection is continued in you and in me and in everyone who is touched by the good news that he is not here, he is risen. So do not be afraid, but come and see, and then go and tell that Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Amen.